speak to you this morning on the topic of responsibility. Responsibility. The word, by definition, means the state or fact of having a duty to deal with something or of having control over someone, the state or fact of being accountable or to blame for something. I want you to think about that definition as we look at that word in big, huge letters on the screen this morning. Responsibility. I want us also to think about not only the definition, but I want you to think about the definition in another way today, if you will. And really and truly, this will be the foothold for today and next week's sermon, as both of them are tied together in the life and the event of Joshua. We're looking at characters in the Bible and how it pertains to us today. So responsibility, I want you to see this in a different light, is your response according to your ability. Let that sink in for just a moment here this morning, if you will. Your response according to your ability. So with the same thought, guys, that word would mean that if you are irresponsible, you could define this as your lack of response according to your ability. Now, beloved, we live in a world today where most people will blame everything and everyone and anything rather than owning it, learning from it, and respond to it with the ability that God has given them. And beloved, let me say this before you start thinking differently. I want to make you very, very, very aware of this simple fact this morning. God will never call you to respond to anything in this life He has not or will not give you the ability to do so. He is not a sadist, my friend. He is going to equip you and give you ability to respond in the manner that He has decreed. Now, you may not access the ability God has given you. That ain't on God. That's on you. You may not have partaken or exercised the given ability that God has given you. That's no different than someone who has the ability to sing or to play or to run technical things and then them wasting it, not using it for God. Amen. If God's given you lungs to breathe and vocal cords to sing, then you should sing praises out to His holy name. Amen. Now, listen, I'll tell you this, and you know me well enough, you've been here long enough. If God hasn't blessed you with the vocal cords, you ought to still sing. Psalm 66 tells us to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And hey, listen, it may not be joyful for you to hear me sing, amen, but it's a noise, and I'm going to praise the Lord with the voice that He's given me, amen. Beloved, Israel spent 400 years in Egypt. Egypt had served a purpose in the life of the Israelites. They went into a country in a time of famine throughout the world, and they went in there, guys, with 11 tribes. Remember, Joseph was already there to make the 12th tribe. And over a course of 400 years, Israel would grow roughly to over 1 million strong. And when a new Pharaoh took over, Israel was forced into slavery, into bondage. And along came Moses, who for 40 years lived a life as an Egyptian prince. And then another 40 years lived the life of an outcast, all to obey the Lord, to return into Egypt as an 80-year-old man, as a deliverer of Israel. He would lead Israel through the wilderness toward the promised land for another 40 years, and he would die at the ripe old age of 120. So today I want to address this topic of responsibility, and I want to do so through the character of this mighty man of God, this minister of Moses by the name of Joshua. Look back in your Bibles there in Joshua chapter 1 again with me. And read with me once more verses 1 through 5 that it says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I give to them, which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that thy sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There should not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee, and will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. So Moses had led Israel through the wilderness. He was not allowed to go into the promised land because he smote the rock twice, disobeying God, in Numbers chapter 20 and verse 11. But I want you to listen. Listen, the first thing that we find at the forefront this morning, by way of introduction, is that Israel, number one, we know they were delivered. They were delivered. We've already read that. We've already seen that. We already know that. Moses stepped up multiple times proclaiming to Pharaoh, "Let my people go. Let my people go." And mind you, Pharaoh had his chance. Okay, remember the first time when he says, "Let my people go," he says, "I'm not going to do this. Who's this God you're speaking? I don't know him. I'm not letting your people go anywhere." He said, "Okay." But from that, we know that Pharaoh hardened his heart. He had an opportunity to have the blessings of God upon him. He had one chance, my friend. Yet he hardened his heart. And you know the rest of the story. From that point forward, God hardened Pharaoh's heart. 10 plagues later, the death of the firstborn, and then the death of all the men by the closing of the Red Sea. Pharaoh's vengeance, his bloodlust vengeance to destroy Israel, ended up in his own destruction in one day's time, leaving only women and children in the land. So we see that Israel was delivered by the hand of God. Secondly, Israel would walk through the wilderness for 40 years. And the reason being was because of their hardened hearts. 40 years would be a time of development for Israel. All of those who were 20 years old and older, say Caleb and Joshua, would die off before allowed to enter into the promised land. This was a developmental stage for the nation. And this would end with the death of Moses and the promotion of Joshua that we've seen in this first chapter, which Joshua was Moses' right-hand man. So we get to this place by way of introduction, we get to a place of destination. And this is where responsibility will now be cast upon the entire nation of Israel. The Lord comes to Joshua, the son of Nun, and he says to him, "Moses, my servant, is dead." Beloved, let me say this to you now. With all love and all compassion, some of us now in our life cannot be successful in this life. We are not following the Christian life. We are struggling with the Christian life, and we're failing to take responsibility for where we are right now because some of us are simply holding on to the past. We're holding on to what used to be. Guys, Moses is the past. Moses did his job. Moses was blessed. But Moses' time at this point with Israel, his time is over with. He served his purpose and his days are gone. The Apostle Paul said this. He said, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended." He says, "But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." Now, most people right now are assuming that I'm referring to all the bad and or negative things in our life, the problematic and the traumatic past which may be holding you back. Well, don't move that far. What does Paul say? "I count not myself to have apprehended." What does that mean? It means to attain. It means to have arrived. That means I don't count myself as being the man without any issues. I haven't arrived above and beyond anyone else in this world. Beloved, Paul had achieved nearly everything that there was to do so. Academically, he was greater than him all. His heritage was perfect. He was on track to become the youngest high priest ever. And yet he says, forgetting those things which are behind. Yeah. Forgetting promotion, forgetting preeminence, prestige, power, position, forgetting all those things, all forgotten in love for the glory of God by taking responsibility for now. Right now. Guys, you may have been the best of the best of whatever in your life. And guys, granted, you learned loads from the time and place in your life, from that period of time, from whether it be on the gridiron or whether it be in the workforce or whether it be on the job front of the school, whatever it may be, you may have excelled above and beyond all your peers. But let me tell you this, guys, you're not responsible for what used to be. You're responsible for what is now. The Lord goes on to say to Joshua, "Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel." Can I tell you this, what the Lord is saying to them? He's telling him how and what it used to be is no longer. Get up and get going. Amen? So why should we put the past away? What is the purpose of getting into the present and leaving the past by taking up the reins of responsibility? Guys, I'm going to tell you why. There is a promise laid before you. Just like there was a promise laid before Israel, there's a promise laid before us as well. Look there in verse 3 in Joshua chapter 1. And the Lord says here, "Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and under the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. Thus shall not a man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." Look at those verses. God said, "That have I given unto you." Just like he said unto Moses, "I'm giving unto you now. I've given them to you, not going to give them, not promised to give them." He says, "They're yours. They're given. The land is yours. The promise is yours. The promise is ours." Think about it in our life today. There are promises that God has given us. He's made to us within the holy, perfect, preserved Scripture today. There are promises that we have left in the bag for various reasons, one of which we've already discussed, our past. But if you want to enjoy the promise of today, you're going to have to let go of the past, period. But remember, our topic is not the past. Our topic is responsibility. This responsibility is based upon how we respond according to our ability, yeah? So therefore, if you want the promise that God has given you by leaving the past, lastly, the responsibility must be personal. And guys, this is where we're going to hunker down and really finish up the sermon here in a little while. It must be personal. So often, many a times, guys, we say, you know, especially in business, we say, "Well, it's not personal, it's just business." Can I say this to you this morning? If anything is worth anything in this life today, you better make it personal. Your relationships better be personal. Your church attendance better be personal. Your tithe and missions better be personal. Your witness to your neighbors and your loved ones, it all better be personal. Because if you're not making it personal, you're not taking responsibility today. That is the reality. Yep, it's yours. Mine is mine. Yours is yours. And ain't nobody out there going to do it for you. Amen? We're in this battle together. And we can come together. And we can hunker down. And we can fight the good fight. We can do all those things as a unit, as a team, moving in a forward direction. But there are some things in our life that you're going to have to take personal responsibility for. Notice what the Lord says. Notice again in verse 3, and underscore these words that I emphasize in your Bible. Every place that the sole of your feet, your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Did you catch that? Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon. What does that mean, guys? What it means, guys, is you got to get up and get going. The promise is there. It's right there in front of you. Quit holding on to the past, but you're going to have to go get it. And that's the problem with so many today, is so many today, they come to the Lord and they make these petitions and these prayers and they say all of these things. And they say, "Lord, I need a job. Please give me a job. Give me a job." And they sit home and play video games all day. Month goes by, and then what do? They blame God for not answering their prayer. It ain't like that anymore, my friend. And we see this with the nation of Israel. There is a great change here when the reins go from Moses to Joshua. When Moses is dead and the past is the past, there is a great change in getting to this destination. Remember this in the wilderness, guys. You can read it from the screen. I won't ask you to turn there. Exodus 16, verse 15. It says, and when the children of Israel, saw it, they said one to another, it is manna. For they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. Think about it. Now stop for a second. There was a time for Israel when God gave them food. He just dropped it out of heaven. What time was it? It wasn't a destination, was it? It wasn't even the deliverance. It was the developmental stage. Why did he do this? Why did God say, you know what? I'm going to drop down these floating little flakes down to you. You're not going to have to work for it. You don't have to do anything. Just go out and put in your little bags and take enough each day to eat. And, you know, on Friday, take up, you know, two for 2 days' work. And you don't have to do that. That's all. Here, I'm giving it to you. Do you know why he did this? Because spiritually they were babies. What do you do for a baby? You feed it. Why? Because a baby can't get up and go cook itself, can it? A baby can't go up and go cook for itself. It can't get up there and throw some chicken on the barbie. I mean, that just doesn't happen. A baby can't do that. They can't provide for themselves. But the same thing happens in a lot of new Christians' lives. And again, when I begin to reflect on this sermon, reflect on this idea, looking at the life of Joshua, seeing what was happening in Israel, I begin to see how closely related the irresponsibility in the Christians' lives in our society today. And I'm going to say this, and I'm not going to hold back. We have weak, effeminate, illiterate men in the pulpits today. For that matter, there's women in the pulpits who fit the same bill. They don't know their Bible. They don't study their Bible. All they trust is what their hierarchy has told them, which is idiotic. And they come out there and they feed a bunch of people and they never, ever, ever get through the developmental stage. They're still babies out there sucking on a nipple from a bottle. Okay? Now that may be a little bit rough for you. But I'm going to tell you right now, that's the truth. That's why our church realm is the way it is today. They're living on high cotton and they want to have the shouter out every single Sunday. But when they leave there, they're going down to the pub or they go on Monday and they cuss like sailors. No changes, no growth, no development, amen. Weak as it all becomes. What happens in a new Christian's life, guys, is they get saved by confessing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. They believe in the death, burial, resurrection and praise God for it, for the forgiveness of their sins. And all of a sudden, God starts answering their prayers. I mean, like never before. Prayers are being answered here. Prayers are being answered here. I mean, things just, they're baby Christians. And this is what God does for a baby Christian. Matter of fact, he's doing things that we don't even know about, protecting and doing things for baby. Why? Because the baby don't know any better. Amen. After 10, 20 years, the Lord ain't doing that anymore. Whether your knowledge has increased or not, or whether you've grown spiritually or not, God says, you know what? I'm not doing it anymore. Matter of fact, Paul rebukes them at one point in time, saying, you've had enough time where you should be teachers, but now I've got to come back and teach you the oracles of the Word of God. I've got to come back and teach you the Sunday school material. Are you kidding me? What the Lord is saying unto Joshua now, that land's yours. And what I'm saying to you today, that promise is yours. But if you want it, you're going to have to go get it. This is what Paul said. Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Think about that. Think about it like this. The Bible says of the promised land, watch this, in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 8, I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. Now, don't raise your hands, but how many of you, when y'all read that verse, you actually pictured rivers of milk and honey flowing through the land? Don't raise your hand. Don't smile. Don't twitch. I can see some of your faces. You've already thought the same way about flowing milk and honey. That's not how it works, though. If it did, guys, there would be no personal responsibility in the promised land. Let me ask you this question this morning. Where does milk come from? And don't you dare say an almond or an oat, okay? Where does milk come from? It comes from a cow, okay? It comes from a cow. Milk comes from a cow, and here's what happened. The Lord had prepared a land, and as part of his promise to his people, He placed a society of people in that land where there was an abundance of cows. But here's what God's not going to do now. He's not going down and milking the cow for you. He's not dropping you a bucket of milk on your doorstep. That's not what he's doing now today. He'll provide the nutrients for the cows. He'll provide the cows. But if you want the milk, you're going to have to get your shoes on, get your bucket, get your stool, and go get the milking, because God's not going to do it for you anymore. He says, you're not a baby anymore. Israel, you've walked it. You've been through the wilderness for 40 years. Some of you who are under the age of 20, man, you are grown adults now. There's the land. Go get it. What honey? Everybody likes honey. And honey from a local area is good for allergies, good for all kinds of things. But where does honey come from? Well, this is a little bit of a different animal now, isn't it? Well, it comes from bees. And you better believe it. With bees, that's a little more complicated than getting milk from a cow, okay? Bees mean business, man. They will sting you to death, to their death, in protecting their honey. Here's what happened. God provides the bees. God provides the pollen. He even provides the hive and the honey. But it's your responsibility to go get it. I'm giving you a land that floweth with milk and honey. I'm giving you a land that's got an abundance of grass to feed the cows, abundance of cows to produce the milk. But if you want the milk that's inside of that cow, you are going to have to get your stool, your bucket, and you're going to have to get to pulling. The same thing with the honey. If you want the honey, guys, you're going to have to stick your hand down inside of a beehive and get the honey. This is what Paul is telling young Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:12. He says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. What he's saying, listen, fight the good fight of faith, and which means it's a required action on our part. You can't just lay up and hold and sit back and think it's all going to come to you. Because, guys, it's not going to come to you like that. And if you can fight a good fight, by inclination, you can fight a bad fight. And we've seen plenty of boxers who fought a bad fight. But he tells him, he says, lay hold on eternal life. And in other words, guys, you're saved, born again of the blood of Christ. You are redeemed. You have eternal life. Therefore, there is a promise for you in this life that it is your responsibility to grab, to lay hold of, to seize upon with your hands. You have eternal life by what I, speaking of Jesus Christ, what I've given you. Now this Christian life, if you want it, you're going to have to take personal responsibility to live it. You know what God's saying, my friend? God's saying, I'm not going to make you do it. I'm not going to make you go to church. I'm not going to make you have devotions. I'm not going to make you a witness to a lost soul. I'm not going to force you to pray to me every day, and I'm not going to use an earthquake to knock your Bible off a dusty shelf to open it up to the right page for you to read. God says, I'm not doing that. It's your responsibility, and it should be personal to you. If you want it, and you want the Christian life, go get it. God said, I ain't doing any of it. Guys, in God's mind, if you want to sit around and watch TV all night long, never pray, skip church, forsake your Bible reading, that's your call, God is saying. But if you want this life that God has placed you in by saving your soul, you're going to have to exercise some personal responsibility. Listen, you're going to have to exercise personal responsibility before God will work through you, work in you, and work for you. Amen. You're supposed to be an adult now. Man, it shouldn't have to fall from heaven. You shouldn't have to be told to go to church. You shouldn't have to be told to read your Bible. You shouldn't have to be told to pray. And by all means, you shouldn't have to be told to invite somebody to church or to witness to somebody lost that is lost the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. My soul, man, should not have to be told that. Grab your bucket, get your shoes on, go get you some milk. Stick your hand down in the hive, risk getting hurt, and take some honey. God said, I provided the birds and the bees and the sycamore trees, but you're going to have to go get it. That's called responsibility, my friend. Your response according to your ability. So now at this point, as we work toward that close, at this point, some of you may want to say, well, if I have to go get it, what do I need God for? It's tempting. Human nature, I get that. Let me put it to you like this. A farmer can have all the land he wants. He can have all the laborers he needs. He can have all the seed that is required. But if he doesn't have enough or too little sunshine, it's all for naught. If he doesn't have enough or too much rain, it's all for naught. You take corn, for instance. Corn is most productive when the daytime temperatures range between 12 and 33 degrees Celsius, and temperatures at night between 11 and 23. Corn needs a lot of moisture, especially on hot and sunny days when the humidity is low. Corn needs at least 2.5 centimeters of water every 7 days until it is about 38 centimeters tall, and at least 2.5 centimeters of water every 5 days until the tassels form. And the tassels will never open fully unless the proper heat, humidity, and moisture, and believe it or not, barometric pressure is present. God must do His part for your part to make any sense whatsoever. You understand that today? Personal responsibility. You can have all the seed, the land, can everything. Without God, it's not happening. Again, we go back to verse 3. What does He say here? Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread. Read it with me again. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread, that have I given unto you. You hear what He's saying? I've given it to you, but now you need to cross this Jordan and go get it. Your feet are going to have to trod on that land that I've already given to you for it to become your promise fulfilled in your life. Guys, you're not trying to make something happen. You're not taking, what you're doing is you're taking full advantage of what God has already done for you or given you in your life. You're grabbing a hold of it spiritually, guys. We're doing what God has enabled us to do in order to bless us with even having more responsibility down the way. God's not interested in making irresponsible Christians. And you know what I mean by that? He's not interested in, for the rest of your 20 years, every time you come to Him, just throwing whatever you ask for on a silver platter. He's not interested in that. You know, you got this group out there that's name it and claim it, and all this and that. That's the biggest lie. You can name all you want. You can claim all you want. It ain't happening unless you go get it. Amen? You know, how many times have people complained about God not answering a prayer? Again, I've already used that example for the job. But they ask God for a job, yet they sit at home and do jack, right? But you got people out there that say, man, I want to stop getting drunk, yet they still go into the bars at night. You got people out there addicted to pornography. There are more people, men and women alike, are addicted to pornography today than ever in the history of mankind. And they complain about, well, God, why don't you just take it away? Listen, they complain about that prayer not being answered. They want their porn addiction away, but they're still getting on the websites. Amen. Let me tell you something. You ask God for a job, get your shoes on, go after it. Go ask for it. You ask God to help you stop drinking, stop going to the bars and being around drunks, my soul. You ask God to help you with your pervert problem. Listen, stop going to the websites, and my soul, get rid of every aspect of the internet. Do whatever needs to be done to preserve your life and your marriage and your home by any means necessary. And I don't care if that means cutting every cord inside the house. If you got that problem, cut it off. Amen. I had a parent come to me one time. They said, we can't keep our son from watching TV when we're not at the house. He's not doing his schoolwork, not doing his homework. I said, you got a pair of scissors? And they said, yeah. I said, you cut the cord. What you mean cut the cord? I said, cut the cord. If you cut that cord, listen, he'll either die trying to watch it, trying to plug it back in. You cut that cord, no electricity. He's not going to watch telly, amen. Well, that's pretty drastic, preacher. I said, how bad do you want it to stop? What you want is you want to ask God to do it for you, and you want Him to miraculously change your child. That's not happening, amen. We think it is, but it's not going to happen. So, He says, now therefore arise. Go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, into the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and to this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the growing down of the sun, shall be your coast. Guys, it's your land. God has already said it. He's already given it. All you got to do is get up and go get it, but you got to get past the past. Now listen carefully, guys. We're almost done. We'll close here in just a moment. We'll finish. But God is not going to make you be blessed. He is not going to force His will upon you. He's not. You can go to church all you want, guys. You can sing all you want. You can pray all you want. You can do all of those things. Think about Joshua. The Lord's telling Joshua, you are more than welcome to sit here on this side of Jordan, and you can have all the praise services, all the worship services, all the prayer meetings you want. And guys, we see it all the time. People want to show up at a church on Sunday, and they want to raise their hands, and I got nothing wrong with that. They want to sing out. They want to speak in a foreign, stupid language. They want to do all this stuff to feel like God's moved upon them without their control. And yet when they leave that door and they go out on Monday, nothing happens. Tuesday, nothing happens. They just wait for God to give it to them again. Oh, we'll get it back on Sunday. That's why this synthetic church you see so much today. Cheap, synthetic, plastic church. No Bible teaching, just foolishness in the pews. Guys, you can sit around and have all the worship services, all the praise services, all the prayer meetings you want to have. But if you want what God has prepared for you, you're going to have to forget the past. You're going to take all the promise and take on personal responsibility for what God has already planned for your life. Now, let me say this and I'm done. Let's get up and let's get after today. If you want this Christian life, you are going to have to take hold of it. You're going to have to put your tennis shoes on. You're going to have to cross that River Jordan and go after what God's already given to you. Will you bow your heads this morning? Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for who and what you are, for all you've done. We pray that you take this message, write it upon the table of our hearts, dear God, make a move in our life, Lord, like you have not done in many ways. But Father, I pray that you provoke every person who's within earshot of this sermon, Father, today, to get up, to move, to capitalize upon the Christian life that you've already laid in front of us as a promise, dear God, that we would take on our responsibility, Father, forget the past and accept the promise, dear God, in this life that you have blessed us with so graciously and wonderfully. So Lord, I do thank you and ask you to bless the closing and the finishing of the service today. Bless the rest of this day to thy holy and precious name. In Jesus Christ's name we do ask. Amen. And I hope and pray that the preaching and teaching of the Word of God was a blessing to your heart this morning. And I hope that it will change you throughout the rest of this week. Amen. Amen.